News Talk 790 KFYO. Good morning. You're listening to the sounds of singer-songwriter, storyteller, all-around nice guy Andy Wilkinson. Been around West Texas, blowing around like a tumbleweed. Somewhere in there, he had a daughter named Emily. She gets a gig over at the National Ranching Heritage Center. And, you know, we didn't know. At first, we didn't make the connection that, like, she was with the band.
Well, you know, I had wondered.
We looked just alike.
Right.
Not
I had
quite,
wondered
she's
if
not
you guys
quite
were related.
As hairy.
Okay, just imagine Emily with a beard and white hair.
Oh, I see it. I see it.
Oh, yeah. Now I get it.
All right. Anyway, they've agreed to come in and kind of hang out. And we have a great story in a song about Tumbleweed Christmas Tree. So we're going to play the CD. He just brought it. But there's really...
Wait, is it like CDs are too old-fashioned now, too?
No.
Yeah, really.
No. I mean, well, the thing is...
I was just
getting
worried.
I mean, we're not... This is, you know, the old Ella Fitzgerald thing. Is it live or is it Memorex?
Yeah, there you go.
Since we have the live version...
We'd rather
we're not,
have the live version.
Anyway, this is kind of an interesting story. There's a special song on here, and you were actually challenged by Cary Banks of the Maines Brothers to write your first Christmas song. So tell us about that.
Well, it was in the summertime... And Cary Banks called up. It's back when on another radio station, we won't mention who it was, he and Kenny Maines and Lloyd Maines had a thing called the West Texas Music Hour.
Mm-hmm.
And
Sunday night show,
and they were planning to do a Christmas special, and Cary called up, and I'm telling you, it was like July, you know, and he said, have you got any Christmas songs for our special? And I said, I don't think I was in a very good mood. I said, no, I don't have them. I don't like Christmas music. I'm really tired of, here Grandma got run over by the reindeer, and somebody's already written White Christmas and Rudolph, all the good stuff is gone, you know. What's the point? And he said, well, I just thought you might have one. And if he says, well, maybe you ought to write one. And I said, yeah, sure. So anyway, that's kind of how we finished the conversation. And the more I thought about it, though, over the next day or two, I thought, wait a minute, I'm a songwriter. I should be able to write a Christmas song. And all the things I'd said were wrong with Christmas songs, too mushy, too sentimental, you know, too whatever. I said, I could write one that's not like that. So I set about to writing it, and I started writing these mushy, sentimental, really terrible Christmas songs. And finally, I realized, well, if I'm going to write it, I'm going to have to write about something that I know about. And at the time, I hadn't been doing music full-time, you know, without a day job, but for a short while. And even the prospect of Christmas, you know, months away, was terrifying to a parent who had two little kids. Well, not that little, but you were in, what, grade school?
Yeah.
So I thought, well, you know, the thing is, it's about me and... how sad it is to think about being poor at Christmas. You know, we watch the Toys for Tots. We all give to Meals on Wheels. We give to the food bank, especially at Christmas. And I thought, well, I'll write about that. But as I started writing about it, I recalled that as a kid, we were poor too, but it never dawned on us. You know, there was this whole thing about Christmas.
Well, you didn't
Christmas.
Know any better.
Exactly. And so I realized that the sad part was not the little kids, but it was the adults, you know, who were thinking, here's my responsibility. So that's what I wrote the song about. And I was going to set it on the farm, which is what I grew up on. But in the middle of all that, I needed a symbol, you know, of what it was like to be poor at Christmas. And so I thought, well, what if it was so poor that you couldn't afford even a Christmas tree? So I thought, well, I'll do one about making a Christmas tree out of a tumbleweed. And about the same time that hit my head, I remembered a town in West Texas called No Trees, Texas, which just seemed like the right place to not have a tree
right.
for Christmas. But it's an oil town, so I had to write it set on that. It turned out to be a pretty good song, but... What was fun, we're going to talk about this later.
Now, the name of the song that you actually wrote was Tumbleweed Christmas Tree.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to continue with put the dots on the I's and cross the T's in just a minute. We're going to singing live for you here on KFYO. Good morning right now. It's 6 in the studio this morning. Have Andy Wilkinson along with Emily, his daughter, and Andy, as you know, singer-songwriter and West Texas boy, is going to sing... What is the name of the song? West Texas?
No, the Tumbleweed Christmas Tree.
Duh.
Yeah. And maybe Emily will do some harmony.
All right, come on.
Nice.
See if we're in tune.
It's important.
I guess we'll know later, won't we?
It was a rough year for roughneck's children. Hard times, harder living. We move when the rent come due, and it come due once a week. That year in late December found us in an old house trailer west of Odessa, near a town they call No Trees. Too poor to pay attention, Daddy lived on good intentions. He intended Christmas to be just what we believe. Drove to town in the company pickup, but when he didn't have a sawbuck, for the price of a Christmas tree, he brought back a tumbleweed. Christmas Eve in Old Trees, Texas, wind blowing through the cactus. Santa Claus was a rich kid saint and a poor kid's dream. But I'd trade every fancy present I ever had or ever will get for the night of the tumbleweed Christmas tree. Daddy set it on the dinette table. Mama made a newsprint angel, ornaments of tinfoil scraps, buttons on a string. Took us all night to decorate it. When we got done, I'll have to say that it was the prettiest tumbleweed I'd ever seen. Wind rocked the trailer like a cradle while we sang our Christmas carols, sitting on the sofa on the duct tape naga hide. Daddy looked proud as a big city banker. Mama tried hard to be thankful, but looking at the tumbleweed, she laughed until she cried. Christmas Eve in Old Trees, Texas, wind blowing through the cactus. Santa Claus was a rich kid saint and a poor kid's dream. But I'd trade every fancy present I ever had or ever will get for the night of the tumbleweed Christmas tree. Now, I was just 6, going on 7, but being poor is an education, and that night I learned a lot about just what Christmas means. It means love, and it means loving. It means money don't mean nothing, and it means a tumbleweed can make a Christmas tree. Christmas Eve in Old Trees, Texas, wind blowing through the cactus. Santa Claus was a rich kid saint and a poor kid's dream. But I'd trade every fancy present I ever had or ever will get for the night of the tumbleweed Christmas tree. I'd trade every fancy present I ever had or ever will get for the night of the tumbleweed Christmas tree.
Nice. Thank you. Good job.
Thanks.
Good job. Emily, didn't know you had it in you.
That's beautiful.
Actually, it's really kind of interesting because, you know, you were singing that harmony. I guess you guys have been doing this together a long time. But, you know, normally in the studio, people are wearing headphones. They're not wearing headphones, but that sounded great.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, tell us a story. We got about 3 minutes before we hit the bottom of the hour. Tell us a story about this.
Well, the song comes out. It's on a recording, and I don't think much else of it. And the next year, I get a call again in the summer, but this time it's from the crew at the Today Show. And of course, I think it's one of my friends pulling a trick, but turns out it wasn't. It was really the Today Show. And this woman says, are you the fellow that wrote this song? And we talked a bit. And she said, well, can you meet us, our crew there, in October? We want to film you there and do a show on Christmas Eve morning about Christmas Eve in No Trees, Texas. So, that's, of course, so we showed up, and there was a crew. They'd flown in the night before to Midland Airport and gone boot scooting in Odessa, and they still hadn't gotten over the cultural shock. And there in the lobby of the post office in No Trees was the tumbleweed, just like I described it. And the postmistress, I was just taken by it, and I said, this is incredible. How'd you do this? And because I'd made this up, you know. She says, oh, my mother-in-law always makes the newsprint angels, and so-and-so does the buttons on the string. And she went through this whole thing, and I was flabbergasted. I'd made it up, but there
was. That's amazing.
Yeah. But here's what the kicker was. We were standing by this time outside, and they were filming us, and the wind was blowing. Tumbleweeds were rolling down the highway, you know. She says, there was only one problem. It was hard. I had to send my husband down off the edge of the cap to get a tumbleweed big enough, and he finally got one, and she said, you know, here's the problem. We just don't get pretty tumbleweeds like we used to.
Really?
You know, they just don't make them like they used to, Mac.
What would a pretty one look
for
like?
Crying
I
out
can't
loud.
Even imagine.
Hey, we're with Andy Wilkinson, singer-songwriter, and we're going to have a poem coming up here in just a few minutes. Thanks for being with us. Thank you, Emily, for coming in, too. Hey, coming up, we got Randy Nagebauer, 7:39. You shared with us the tumbleweed Christmas tree, but you're also a writer and a poet, so you've got a poem with us, or that you brought with us, or with you to share with us. What's the name of the poem, and would you like to read it?
Well, of course I'd love to read it, because I'm not bright enough to remember all this stuff. I have to read it. And this is the poem that's the title of that album, An Ordinary Christmas. And some people might say, what's ordinary about Christmas? And that's the whole point. But so this is about Christmas out here.
Okay.
An ordinary Christmas. I don't remember Christmas ever white. We lived outside of town on cotton land above the canyon, land that passed for snow around Thanksgiving, when the cotton bowls had opened up but hadn't all been pulled. So squinty-eyed and rocked back on my heels, it most appeared a winter wonderland. But by December late, the stalks stood bare. Burnt, umber, ragged regimental rows stuck straight up in the yellow ochre sand, with wisps of cotton that the stripper left, whipped into ghostly globs of gritty gray, vibrating in the 40-acre wind, more Halloween than Christmas holiday. The sky so clear that pennies were as like to fall as snowflakes, and that steady blow so hard they'd not come down in any case. And even if they did and were to light on furrowed row or careless wheat or plow, it had not yet been cold enough to stick. And sure enough, they'd melt. There'd be no snow, not on the southern plains at Christmas time. Yet decorated windows on the square and five and dime and dry goods stores kept faith, with yards of bleached bone batting bundled round and glitter oddly dusted here and there in counterpoint to tinfoil tinsel strips that hung in coarse mechanical festoons, bejangling the blinking Christmas bulbs that framed the fluffy spray can frosted panes. And Christmas cards, of course the Christmas cards, had snow in spades, in photographs of smooth white blanket-covered evergreens and firs round cozy cabins in a pristine wood, with chimneys curling smoke and windows lit in welcome for a weary Santa Claus. It seemed the whole world everywhere had snow, except for us. Though nary single soul, if truth be told, paid such, no, never mind, just went about their business, making do. And so we'd cut a cedar in the breaks, or find a tumbleweed still round and full, then bleach a cup towel or a diaper rag, and wrap it round the bottom in a drift before we'd hang the decorations on, and make our Christmas tree look almost right. The entire while we knew that it would be another ordinary Christmas day. That's how it came to pass, year in, year out. The stars on Christmas Eve would burn so clear and cold, and on the windows of the car our breath would rhyme a frigid circle thick that with a coat sleeve smear would make the lights of town into a far-off Bethlehem as we drove back from Granny's to the farm to tumble out with covered dish remains and packages and presents for the tree and stand eye-rubbing, looking at a night as deep as promises that friends have made. The moon as white as new Caliche Road. The flat and level plains as shiny dark as wild plum jelly underneath the sky, wiped cloudless clean. So on the coming morn there'd be no wrinkle in the seamless blue, no slate gray spongy winter washed out light, no complicating of the shaking wind, no stinging sheets of sleet and sloppy flakes of snow, no runny nose ear-biting cold, no norther blowing blotting out the sun, just one more ordinary Christmas day upon the southern plains. But better far than anywhere where Christmases are white.
Oh, thanks, Andy. I appreciate that. Joining us is Andy Wilkinson, also Emily Wilkinson. He's singer-songwriter, poet, all-around nice guy, West Texas native, been on the entertainment music scene for a long time. And little known secret, we had no idea that you was a singer, too, Emily.
I keep it quiet sometimes.
But anyway.
in the mornings, especially.
You hear Emily from time to time talking about the events at the National Ranching Heritage Center. So you got a song for us. What's this one about?
Well, glad you would ask. I just did a poem about not having snow at Christmas. But, you know, in the winter of 82, 83, or 83, 84, we had snow, like in January. Went to bed on a Thursday night, forecast of 1 to 2 inches, woke up the next morning, 17 inches of snow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we all stayed home because we couldn't get out of our house.
Thanks, right. Ron.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I wrote this song about snowing. Holidays are over. Bills are coming due. Work's been hard to come by, I'm telling you. Money ain't important, but that's only partly true. More than money, I need something to do. When it's snowing again in Lubbock, on the Ano Estacado, the snow blows in like trouble, trouble with nowhere else to go. With nowhere to go. It's drifted on the fences, it's piled up on the cars. Can't get where you're going from where you are. But it don't make no difference, 'cause I ain't trying very hard. Giving up don't require you go too far. When it's snowing again in Lubbock, on the Ano Estacado, the snow blows in like trouble, trouble with nowhere else to go, with nowhere to go. Snowed all January. Hell, I guess it snowed all year. My eyes feel like there's cotton in my ears. If we make it through February, spring will be near. But the snow's so deep, the spring can't find us here. When it's snowing again in Lubbock, on the Ano Estacado, the snow blows in like trouble, trouble with nowhere else to go, with nowhere to go. Do 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 do.
you very much. It's Andy Wilkinson and his daughter Emily Wilkinson singing an original about snow in Lubbock. I remember that, Snowmageddon.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't get it at Christmas, but
we get it. Usually afterwards.
I got, I got stuck in my pickup truck in the Walmart parking lot at 4th and Slide Road in that snow. And my wife at the time sitting on the front seat of the truck watching me try and swear my way out of that one.
Yeah.
Well, the four-letter words are about as useful as a shovel in that instance.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the interesting part about that was is she was sitting on the front seat, and she says, "How about I drive, you push?" Go figure.
Yeah.
Hey, what else? What do you guys have planned for the holidays? You guys have any holiday traditions in your family that you guys observe? Do you guys sing, or what do you do?
We actually are going to go out tonight and sing with the Maines family. A big thing they're going to do out at Wally and Latrona's place out in shallow water. And then we are forging some new traditions. We're going to have on Christmas Day dinner a ratatouille.
Really?
Yes. So which I think is kind of fun, you know, to do something a little bit different. But we always have a Christmas Eve where we get together with the family and then Christmas Day dinner, and that's what we're going to do.
You know, it's kind of interesting that, you know, I always thought, Laura, when you know people that sing, that are entertainers, you know, if they do the same thing that on holidays and like Christmas Eve and things like that as they do other times, or if they just kind of sit back and take a break, but obviously they're going to be singing.
Yeah, I don't think they take a break from music in this family.
You're lucky. I mean, it's just you're so lucky when you get to do something that you love.
Yeah.
Be on the radio.
I know.
Well, it's nice that you guys were with us. Any other thoughts you guys would like to share with us? You have another story or a poem you'd like to drop on us? We've got about 3 minutes left.
Oh, I don't know if we've got anything that's 3 minutes, but
doesn't have to be 3 minutes long. But yeah. Just some thoughts.
Well, you know, it's I think it's just wonderful that we get to celebrate the wrapping up an old year with Christmas and then the beginning of a new year, you know, the week afterwards. Some people think, well, can't we spread our holidays out? And I think, no, this is really a very good thing and a time for us to think back about how fortunate we are, no matter what has gone wrong. And all of us have plenty of things that go wrong, still on the balance. Pretty good deal.
Yeah, everybody has their own challenges.